A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Coming up on TMS, Laporte protrusion.
I'm knackered.
Giving birth to a marshmallow.
I'll soon be naked.
Beating Aunt Barb.
Laughing clown level of pain.
How tall is Mile High Stadium? Because I really, like, wanted to know.
There will be no Marvel, no Netflix, and no Lieutenant Yar.
There were two hills.
Charles the Cyst.
Bib Convert.
Werewolf of Ohio.
Puff Granddaddy Pink Eye.
I'm cycling up that hill.
Beast Nation with Steven and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
We have the most amazing, which will blow you away at the end of the show. So stay tuned for this is the place to shop, this is the place to be. Dollar is this car. Now come with me. I want to show you some unbelievable deals. Come on. Yeah, baby.
Okay, lunch is over. Now back to work.
The Morning Stream. What do you say? We get nipple to nipple.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to TMS. It's Monday, June 26, 2023. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett. Hello, Brian.
Hello, Scott.
Recovered Hello. From your ride of 30 miles for charity?
Pretty much. 32, Scott. 32 miles.
Holy shit.
Clarify.
Yeah, let's not miles. Short you a couple of miles, man.
That's right. Exactly. Every mile counts.
Let's actually talk about this. You got you sent me a route link. Let's take a look at this.
I did. Here. This is one we showed on the stream before, which up there has Laporte as like a little, looking like a little exposed ween and balls up there at the top left.
Oh, yeah. Look at that. Laporte. Is that a town? Is that a little city?
A little town outside of Fort Collins called Laporte. right next to Bell End or whatever that's called. Yeah. Bellevue.
I want to know more about this Vern's place up here on top of the protrusion. I want to go there.
Let's see. Vern's place. I'm
probably
place.
Zoomed in.
Oh, up there. Yeah, it's like a Eat at Joe's kind of thing, right? Like a little diner.
I like places like that. But this is your actual route. It looks like a big old elephant doing its thing, you know?
It kind of does, yeah. So this is the route. This is, you see the route there along the top. And then on the bottom, as we talked about last week, you have the elevation as you go. And we talked about the hills and said, oh, wow, these are some pretty serious hills, Brian. Wow, these are crazy hills.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot that mile 10... or mile 9.5 or whatever it is, 9, I guess, was a double hill. And all right, I'm all set for this hill on 10. I'm really going to push. I'm going to do it. And I'm zipping up the hill. I'm passing people. I'm passing other riders. I'm powering strong. And I'm just like making up the hill. Top of the hill comes and there's some people staying there.
Yeah.
Standing at the top of the hill right in front of this big curve. And I'm like, oh, no. You know, I figure I'll rest on this nice downhill. For the rest of this the ride here coming down off of this thing, a nice little downhill. I'll rest there, and then you go around the curve, and it's like, oh crap! It was a double hill, and I poured out everything out of my tank for the first hill in that double. Completely forgot there was a second hill, so I made it about 2/3 of the way up that hill, and I'm like, along with about a dozen other people. Gonna walk the rest of the way up this second hill.
Nothing wrong with that, man.
Wrong with that.
If anything, it makes the charity even the sweeter because you're just like, it's right, hard, exactly. You know. It's not easy for you. It's not simple.
It's not easy. No. And by the way, here we go. Here's the hardware right here.
Look at that. Yeah.
There's the metal.
Oh, that's cool. Is that made of metal?
It is made of metal.
Nice. Yeah. Look at that.
Nice little, it's heavy. It's got some weight to it.
Like a little bike gear. It's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I love that. A worthy.
Yeah. What's that?
I said that's a worthy medal.
It is a worthy medal. Yeah. It'll go on my wall with the other ones that I've gotten every year. But the thing I was going to bring up was the use of taint butter, which...
Oh, right. We didn't discuss this pre...
We did not discuss it at all.
And normally part of the discussion, right? We usually have this as a topic.
It always comes up as a little discussion because it is... It delights and fascinates Scott.
Absolutely. Did you load up this year? Get your Amazon on and
I already had a tube of it from last year. Fortunately, that stuff, as far as I know, doesn't expire. It probably has some
upper limit, right? Like years, but you can use it. You know.
Yeah, I think you know you'll know when it's congealed into a solid that that's probably the year to replace it. Mm. But. So we drove up there because basically we drove up the morning of the ride as opposed to staying the night and being up there. Drove up there the morning of the ride. I already had my bib shorts on. I'm a bib short convert. Big thanks to Chuck Robinson for convincing me to get my first pair. And now I have two pairs because like I can't go back to regular bike shorts. I need bib shorts.
Tell me about the bib. Like, yeah, to describe that.
Built-in suspenders. So basically, they're bike shorts that kind of have a built-in suspender. You look like Andre the Giant wearing, because it looks like one of those onesies that where you have your whole bare chest exposed.
Yeah. Oh, those are, what's the word for that?
It's like a onesie, isn't it? Or a wrestling, there is a better term, yeah.
I've heard the term and I can't think of it. But anyway, yeah, I know what you mean. So you got like, you wear that, that's like an underneath thing, and then you got something on top of that.
I wear it underneath, so I have a jersey over top of that, yes.
Right. Unitard, is that it?
Is it a unitard? I think of a unitard as like a full legs covered,
a singlet.
Like a leotard.
It might be a singlet.
Singlet. I think singlet is correct. Yes. Okay. I think that's correct.
Right. Well, that's good. That's a fancy name for a thing like that. Yes.
So, but I put all that stuff on and then did the drive up because it's a lot easier. Actually, I had a t-shirt on over my bib shorts for the drive and then changed into my bike jersey once I was up there. And where we parked was far away from the porta potties. And Tina had to go from the long drive up, so I had to wait for her to come back because I didn't want to leave the bike just sitting there unattended.
Sure.
Had to wait for her to come back. Finally, when she came back, I went over there and used the bathroom. Didn't think about the fact that I probably should have taken the taint paint with me, the chode butter, the saddle grease, and applied it there. So I'm like, oh, crap. Got back to the car. I'm like, oh, shoot, I need to apply the taint butter. I'm not going to, like... go all the way back to the porta potty. I'll just do it here. So I open the back door of the car and I open the front door, both on the driver's side, and I stand in the middle of it so that I can't be seen except by people behind me. And I lift up my jersey and I take the tube of goo and I pull out my shorts and I go and it's really supposed to go further back than I put it. Basically, without getting graphic, it was a lot more in front than it should have been.
Sure.
Stuff made its way to the back.
Yeah.
And I put in enough that a lot of it made its way to the back. But the problem is that bike shorts and these bib shorts have this thick fabric area around your crotch area, but then to allow airflow, it's kind of like a meshy, lighter fabric around the sides by your legs.
Sure, that makes sense. Yeah.
And when I finished squeezing in the tube of taint butter into that area, and then lowered my shirt and closed the doors, I realized that a lot of this white stuff was kind of coming out the sides of my legs on either side of my crotch. It looked like I was giving birth to a marshmallow, like a s'mores marshmallow. So I'm like, well, I guess I've got enough there. It's going to be enough for the ride. And I'm like sloshing. It's like, all right, well, this is comfortable and cold and
sure,
fine.
Sure. But it worked, right? Did the job.
It totally worked. Like, that was never a problem. I mean, you think about the fact that I'm pedaling a little more like with both legs about once every half second, right? Like if I'm pedaling, shoo, 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 shoo.
Yeah.
And I rode for 2.5 hours, I think is what my, let me look at Strava here and see what my total ride time was.
It's not bad. For 32 it's not miles, bad. It's not bad at all.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm impressed by that time. I think. I feel like that would take me longer. Thanks, while you're looking at that, the Fort Collins is where you start. You go out and then you come back in that same.
Yes.
Okay. All right. I'm just looking at the map again.
And I didn't understand how there could be an uphill on the way out of the starting area and an uphill on the way back in.
Did you take MC Escher Boulevard or what happened there?
Don't understand how. There we go. 2 hours, 27 minutes for the full ride.
It's pretty good.
So I'm happy with, I'm totally happy with that.
Yeah.
Average speed, 13 miles an hour. So if you think about, you know, doing that every two movements of your legs, two pumps of your legs every second for 2 hours and 27 minutes, you want a lot of butter down mm-hmm. there. You're going to chafe. It's going to hurt if you don't put something down there to kind of smooth.
You embrace the butter at that point. You want the butter.
I embraced the butter. I became one with the butter, and apparently so did my shorts.
Yeah, you probably absorbed some of the butter. I'm thinking.
I'm sure. Oh, it was in my skin for sure. Yeah,
got some of that butter in his veins this morning.
Muchly, yes. Weston Wright asks a very good question. What is your ride music playlist?
I always like this because you always end up. It always. I feel like it varies year to year. Like it's not always the same. So what'd you do this year?
It does, but then part of it doesn't. And what I decided is that since there were three legs of the ride, there was there's two stops, two rest stops, and that's when I decided I would change my music. And instead of putting on, I go into Apple Music and you go under Listen Now and you've got your stations. There's the Brian Ibbett station, which basically it creates a station based on the things you like.
Right.
That's great, but I'm going to end up with like Joe Jackson's Breaking Us in Two, a really slow song that will not drive me up the 10-mile right.
Songs,
double hill.
Songs you like, it's just they're not appropriate for the moment sort of thing.
Exactly.
Right?
So yeah. I need bands for the most part have good driving songs, good heavier songs that are good for that. So I decided I would just do Apple Music Artist Essentials for all three legs.
Mm.
Foo Fighters Essentials for leg one.
There goes my
hero.
Which
was great. Got me started. All that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Everlong, My Hero, Big Me, Learn to Fly, all that stuff.
All the hits.
Second leg was Green Day. Got me going with the long view and the basket case and the American Idiot and all that stuff.
Good.
But it was also good, like, you know, that's mellower stuff in there that I thought would be better for the middle leg. Holiday. Holiday is still a heavier song. Wake Me When September Ends, things like that.
Sure.
And then for the third leg, and this will kind of always be my final leg playlist, is Muse Essentials. Because not only are their songs heavy and driving and powerful and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But their lyrics kind of fit it too. Like they've got a song called Dig Down. They've got a song, you know, We Won't Be Silenced, you know, that sort of thing. Like they're very theatrical in their whole like anthem kind of stuff.
Sure, sure.
And so that worked out perfectly. Like getting me through that last leg, and I zipped through for quite a while. I couldn't see anybody in front of me, and there was a whole crowd, like a whole throng, a Peloton. No, Peloton's always the first cluster of bikes.
Oh, right.
But there was a throng of bikes way behind me, and I did not see anybody in front of me. So far in front of me were the diehards of like the, oh yeah, I could do this 30-mile loop without even stopping, blah, kind of thing.
Mm.
But then behind me, I had like all the people that I was kind of using as a, how am I doing? Looking at my little helmet side view mirror thing. How am I doing? Oh, I'm still way ahead of that group. All right. I'm doing all right. And so that's,
so where'd you place in the end? Do you know your placement?
There's no placement.
Oh, okay. They don't worry about
I
that.
I placed 2 hours and 27 minutes is where I placed. I was ahead of, there were only three members of my team who did the 32 and I was in front of both of them.
Oh, You beat Aunt Barb, did you?
I beat Aunt Barb. Aunt Barb actually started to feel a little woozy after the first rest stop, way past the double hill, and had to have Tina come and grab her and get her.
Well, Barb literally has MS, and I don't know how she does this every year.
I don't know how she does it either, yeah. And I don't know how she did that double hill. I mean, she's fantastic. She's incredible. And
she's great.
Always a huge inspiration. I posted a video in the TMS Discord chatter area, the discussions with me talking to Aunt Barb. So
that's awesome.
You all got a little taste of Aunt Barb in that little video there.
Yeah, a little bit of Barb. All you've had up to now is stories and multiple photos on different people's faces. That's all you've gotten.
That's right. That's right. A bunch of Barb heads on everybody else's face.
Yeah. So. Well, that's great. Grats,
so she's recovered too. She's feeling fine. And it was.
Congratulations. That was it. You made it through the ups, the downs, the Laporte protrusion, all of it.
the Laporte protrusion.
Yeah.
And looking forward to getting my back all healed up so that next year I can go back to doing the full 150 miles.
Nice. Well, good. And you're standing today, which is a good sign. I like that. He's still standing better than he ever did.
As opposed to sitting.
Yep. All right. Excellent. Well, real quick here. Let's knock out one of these because we got some stuff to give away. And it sounds a little bit like this. Where is it? What happened? Well, that's weird. My stuff moved. All right, let's play that.
Stand back and check your personal belongings. It's time for the morning forum.
I don't know why my stuff moved, but it did. I must have drug it and didn't notice. Anyway, we want to give away some stuff for last week's morning forum submission, which was all about your favorite go-to guilty food pleasures.
Oh, yeah.
And there were quite a few on here. I'll give you some examples. Lots of pizza, lots of Taco Bell. Donuts, cheeseburger, poutine. We get the Canadians or Canadian lovers in there.
I love the poutine.
Yeah, Cheez-Its. I'll admit to downing too many Cheez-Its here and there.
What was your, you know, let's say Shug, not a factor, right? Mm-hmm. Let's say you know, trying to lose weight, not doesn't figure into the picture. Sugar isn't a big issue. What is your go-to? What is the thing you get and consume?
So we'll do this as 25-year-old Scott. I would go for...
Oh, no. Do this as 53-year-old Scott.
Oh, all right. If I could, if I didn't have to worry about those things, it'd be the same as if I was 25.
Okay, good. All right.
Just a big triple death chocolate shake thing.
Oh, really?
You know, where they put like chocolate ice cream, chocolate chips, chocolate something else, chocolate
stuff in there. Yeah, a little syrup on top with a little whipped cream.
Every day, all day. Oh, my gosh. I love that so much. I would do that right now if I was able.
Yeah,
what would you do?
I'm a donut guy. Like, give me a big...
A good donut, though, right? You don't want some garbage donut.
I don't want no... Sorry, Winchells. Your donuts used to be good, not good anymore.
Nope.
Duncan, you're kind of falling fast. Lamar's, now we're talking. Mm. Give me Lamar's. And soon, Scott, I'll be able to tell you about Pink Box in September.
Oh, yeah.
Tanner and Alex and me and Tristan and Barry Folk and I don't know who else. Don't know if Bobby Ann's going that trip or who else is going, but we're all going to meet out there, and basically starting as the D&D group.
Oh, that's great. hope you guys roll 20s all week when you go.
That'd I hope great. So, too. Is there a craps location for 20? Because this we want to roll.
Yeah, we want to roll that, please.
But, should be a blast. And the Pink Box is now open at Plaza, and their donuts are massive. They're like giant head-sized donuts.
I've heard they're
huge. And our booking includes two free donuts from Pink Box.
Oh, my Lord. Really? Wow.
Yes. So I'll get both of them. I'll use one as a pillow on the bed. And gnaw on the other one over the course of the weekend.
somebody in here put chocolate-covered coffee beans. Never had that.
Oh, yeah. Have you never had those?
No. Is it good?
Chocolate covered espresso beans? They are good. If you don't like coffee, you probably wouldn't like them, though, because you get the bitterness of the espresso.
I don't like coffee flavor. I wish I did. Everyone loves it but me. I don't know what my deal is. I try. Yeah. I just can't do it. Cola Slurpees on here. Someone else did frozen pizza. Yeah. That's a good... I like a good frozen pizza here and there. Taco
Joe. If you have a choice, though, of any...
Oh, well, no, if you have a choice, I'm not getting... I'm not getting...
Yeah, who's picking a frozen pizza over some other...
Yeah.
over some other...
It seems like a poor choice to me, a little bit. Let's see. Find one more.
Oh, I like fudge stripes too. That's my go-to cookie. If you say, Brian, what's your favorite cookie? I say fudge stripes.
Oh yeah, I used to be able to kill a bag of those, tray. I guess they were like a little plastic tray. Yeah. General So's chicken burrito is on here. I don't know what that is, but I would eat that. I have an idea.
Yeah. Interesting.
I'd eat that now.
That might come up later, as a matter of fact, General. Yeah. If you have one of those, that might come up later.
whoever said bowl full of mayo, you are no longer allowed to win anything, okay? Yeah. You can't. You're
we have off. Your email address, and you're now on a list.
You're well on then. A list. Yeah, you don't want to be this person. But I'll tell you who won this week. We got a winner, and it is D.W. Jensen. You have won the contest. You were chosen at random. I don't know what food thing you said because it doesn't say it next to your name, but you chose wisely by entering your name. And D.W. Jensen, you get a Frog Pants Fun Pack. If you don't hear from me before I hear from you, expect an email shortly, and we'll let you know what to do. All right, one final thing, and then we call.
You didn't know what to do.
One final thing before we go to Dunaway. All right, one tiny little tiny thing. This was one of the weirdest experiences I've ever had. Kim's home from Minneapolis. She got home yesterday. Good. I got pink eye yesterday. I think it's from holding the baby. She hit me in the face.
Holding the baby with your face by her butt?
No, she's up close to my face, and she's into reaching out for faces now.
Sure. Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure she gave me pink eye. But anyway, it's not so bad. It's not that bad. It's just a little pink. I'll deal with it. But anyway, so all's back to normal, but also a little crazy yesterday. It was kind of nuts around here. The day prior, though, I had an experience I've never had before. It's just me and Carter holding down the fort, dogs, cat, all that. And her dog, Ripley, the Weimaraner, you know, the big one.
Yeah.
She has gigantic, like undestroyable dog bone treats, you know, big, not treats, but toys.
And she's
multiples of those, right? These big, huge fake bones that supposedly will never get torn up is the idea. Somehow she manages to do it over time, though. She does manage to destroy these bones. And one of them is so chewed up on one end. It's made out of like some kind of super dense resin or something. I don't know what this material is. But on one end of this bone, it's got it's all choppy from her teeth marks and stuff.
Yeah, like all rough. Yeah.
I walked into the living room. It's a little bit dark. I'm not wearing shoes. And I kick with my big toe the end of that freaking bone. Now, that sounds painful just hearing it, right?
It does, yeah.
I've done this before. You trip on a bone, you kick it, step on a Lego, whatever it is. You have foot pains, some of the worst pain. But this was so exquisite, and I'm not kidding you when I describe this to you. It was so painful that in the moment of the pain, and it maybe lasted 20 to 30 seconds, I clenched my eyes, fell backwards on the couch, held my foot, made some sort of noise. Carter heard me do it. And in my head, I literally, not just thought, I literally saw a laughing clown face inches from me laughing in my face. How weird is that? It was tangible. It was almost like if I'd have had the wherewithal.
Did it look like this?
Oh, shit. Oh, no. A little bit, actually. Yeah. It was kind of that kind of clown. It wasn't like bald. It had hair, crazy hair. Anyway, this thing was just right here going, bah, 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 just laughing right in my face while the pain was at its worst. And then it subsided and the face went away. But I've never experienced that kind of thing in my life before.
Yeah, no kidding. Oh, my God.
Why a clown? Why laughing at me? I don't know.
I think it's because you're probably like what has to be something severe to distract me from the pain that I'm experiencing.
Maybe that was what it was. It was like a mental, like a help. Like it was trying to help me or something. But I hate clowns, so that didn't help much.
Yeah.
But anyway, now I've got this like, oh shit, there it is again.
This is a killer clowns from outer space, like one of those dolls at the carnival that you throw a ball to knock over.
Oh, right. Where'd you get that?
This came as a loot crate thing. Usually I give away all the stuff that comes in loot crate because they're perfect for, it's like you spend $25 and I get a box of like six or seven prizes to give away for Guess the Connection or whatever.
Sure.
But this one I'm keeping. Sorry. I'm keeping the killer clown from outer space.
You got to keep that. It's got like film sack,
Exactly.
Sensibilities.
It's not super stable though.
Well, are clowns ever super stable? That's the real question.
No, that's an unstable clown.
Speaking of unstable clowns, that's a perfect transition. We're going to bring Dunaway in, who is actually kind of a stable clown. He's fine. But he wants to play. He wants to play with us. We want to play with him.
He's a very stable genius, that Brian Dunaway.
He is. He is. Genie, take that. Hey, look who it is. Brian Dunaway here, joining us for a little bit of the old half-asses this morning. Hi, Brian. How are you?
Oh, hi, Scott and Brian.
Hey.
Oh, hello.
How are you guys doing today on this fine Monday?
Yeah, pretty good.
You know, great.
Yeah, pretty good. How are you doing?
That
you
were, sounds like a bunch of liars. What do you really got going on?
You were. I know you had kind of a crazy week last week. You doing better?
Oh, I had a terrible week. You know, I had that the cyst on my back. I had it removed, and then taking antibiotics all week, and then I just. You ever just feel like you're just like moving in slow motion and can't feel nothing. You're holding stuff in your hands and this goes vroom, like that.
Yep.
Well, it's been like that for a week. Yep. I just can't seem to focus on anything. And this is my last day of antibiotics. So
I think that's probably it. Yeah. Antibiotics is for as good as they are for, you know, getting rid of your infections. Some of the newer ones, they got a lot of other like weird effects, you know?
Yeah. I'm like, this sucks. I'm like, well, how bad is, some kind of big giant infection on your back? It can't be that bad. Can't be any worse than these antibiotics, right?
Yeah. Do they let you keep it? Did you get to hang on to that thing? Put it in the bottle? Your cyst? Did you get to keep it?
Oh, hell no. Gross. Yeah. You're sick,
a jar,
Scott.
Like a nice little jar of cyst.
Yeah. What, I give it a name or something too?
You name it.
No.
You put it in the shelf and
disgusting.
You go, hey, everybody, check it out. It's Charles, my cyst.
No. I have that, whatever that fear is where you're like, get it out of my body thing. What is that called? The get this shit out of my body. I don't like it.
I don't know what that is. Out. Is that an actual
phobia?
There's
a real fear for that. It's like, I forget what it's called. It's like the xenomorph in your body. Get it out.
Oh yeah.
Fear.
Yeah. You're like the guy in Alien with the John Hurt moment.
Yeah. Like whenever they show like that earwig thing or whatever it was in Star Trek, when they put it in Chekhov's ear and he goes, that freaks me the hell.
Yeah, I don't like that stuff either. Yeah. I don't like that either. Okay, so we're going to call it John Hurtophobia. John Hurtophobia.
There we go. John Hurtophobia.
Hurtophobia.
Yeah.
I think we just helped science one step forward. Hey, exactly. Speaking of helping science, we're going to do something that has nothing to do with it. We're going to play a game, and it's called the Half Asses, and Brian here is going to explain the rules so that you and I can figure out how the hell it's going to go. So Brian has
welcome to the Half Asses, a trivia game where I'm actually going to be giving the two of you the answers. I'm going to give Scott and Brian a category and six possible answers. Three of those answers are correct, three are incorrect, and depending on how confident you feel with the category, you can provide one, two, or three guesses. Can't do zero. Just can't do zero guesses because that'd be lame. Totally
plus
lame.
Plus, they get to lock in your answers, right? You can't just not. Oh, can you do it?
It won't even give you a locked button unless you put an answer in, will it?
Okay.
Oh, see?
That's true.
If you get any of those answers wrong, by the way, you get 0 points for the round. Get one right, you get a point. Get two right, and you get 2 points. And you get all three correct, you will get 5 points total. Player with the most points after three rounds wins the prize for their contestant. And these two contestants I'm going to tell you about are pulled from members of the Tadpool that aren't able to listen live. Scott, you're going to be playing for Elliot in Bolton, England.
Oh, nice. England.
Nice and far away.
Yeah, I like it there.
Brian, you're going to be playing for somebody here in my neck of the woods, Nate, in Denver, Colorado.
Nate. What's going on, Big Nate?
Big Nate.
Elliot and
that
Nate.
That was a webcomic or a comic strip.
Big Nate?
Remember Big Nate?
No.
I don't remember that at all.
Big Nate. Was it good?
Remember Big Nate? I thought it was. I found it hilarious. I talked to, I liked it. Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah, Lincoln Pierce. You guys remember Big Nate?
No.
Lincoln Pierce?
No, I'll look it up later, though. I'm interested.
I don't know what you're talking about.
I think once you Google it, you'll be like, oh, I remember this comic.
Oh, I totally do. I'm looking at it now.
Is he wearing a big cowboy hat? Is that it?
No. It's a kid on a cover. He made books and stuff. I totally know this now. Yeah. All right. Never mind. I don't think I've ever read it, but I absolutely recognize it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's got seven dreadlocks on his head.
Yeah.
Correct.
Six, seven,
something like that. Greg.
Seven. Brian's right. Seven.
Six large dreadlocks and one teeny tiny dreadlock in the middle.
Well, he's receding.
Less,
you know,
there's less dread in that middle lock.
Yeah,
right there.
I'm pulling for a Big Nate dreadlock. You can do it, Bray.
Excellent.
All right. Well, you can only do it if I start the game. And let's start the game with your question number one. Cities once home to the world's tallest building. So I'm going to give you six cities. At one point. three of these had the world's tallest building.
But they no longer do? Or is this
I'm not saying.
Okay, okay.
Once home to the world's tallest building. Like, maybe they still have the world's tallest building. I don't know.
Can you define building? Oh, sorry. Well,
one, a structure.
Once implies that it doesn't anymore, but
Right. See, he hasn't even gotten the question out. This is why we get the half-asses. This is the half-ass part of the morning half-asses.
This is the half of the ass that we don't
The asses part.
Yeah.
All right, let's give you your damn answers. Here's your damn answers. Hamburg, Germany. Shanghai, China. Taipei, Taiwan. Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, Chartres, France. Is it Chartres?
Did you say Chartres?
I think you pronounce the R-E-S.
Well, I do. I'm not French.
It could be Chartres.
Chartres. Okay. Charters.
I wanted to be Charters, France.
Milwaukee, USA.
Okay.
Somebody in the chat room, please tell me how to pronounce Chartres. Chartres.
Doesn't sound right, though. Is it Chartres? I hope it's not Chartres. It might be Chartres.
It's a baby shart.
Baby shart. Yeah, you're still doing it wrong, but I love it. Don't ever change.
I'm doing it right. They're doing it wrong.
Oh, it's them. All right, they're doing it wrong.
Let's see. Wrong. Doing it wrong.
Yeah. By the way, just a reminder wrong. How Dunaway does it here. Enjoy.
Baby shart. You know how hard it is to get it wrong every time?
I know.
Because that shit's burning your brain. You
have
I know.
You have to really like think about
backwards.
It.
Yeah.
Eventually, you're going to get it right by accident.
AB is the first one, I think, to actually give a real answer to how to pronounce that city in France, and it's Chartres.
Oh, it's Chartres.
Or with the French R. Chartres.
Okay.
Yes, well, they're got to roll that R.
Good for them, because Chartres is bad.
Shalter.
I thought it was a farter, but it is a shalter.
I'm trying to think of what might have been in Milwaukee that was ever even a hint of this world's tallest building. For some reason, I think Milwaukee is a very flat place. But you're going to correct me.
Arnold's.
I'm sure.
Arnold's had a was the tallest building.
Yeah, with Arnold on top of it, or just in general.
Well, I think Al actually was once Al was on top.
You know, this is a bullshit answer because all of these are true.
No, it's not. How could they be? I don't know. How could they all be true? No.
He wouldn't do that to us, would he? He might. No, there's only three that are true. Yeah, that's right. It has to be three. Yeah.
Yes.
What a sliding scale, too. I mean, like, somebody's always got the role of tallest building, right? Somebody's always got it.
Someone always gets the new titles. All right.
Just give me the answers.
Yeah. All right, I'll do that. You guys both settled on Shanghai, China. At no point did Shanghai, China ever have the tallest building. Hamburg.
You said
Germany.
Milwaukee?
It felt like a trick question. I was sure I was going to get screwed if I didn't choose it.
Hamburg actually had the tallest building for about 200 years, from 1647 to 1874. The tallest building in the world was in Hamburg. Taipei, Taiwan went from 2004 to 2010, and Kuala Lumpur. Had Sean Connery falling off that building sometime between 1998 and 2004.
So the UAE or somebody's got it now, right? It's none of these. It's the tallest.
So I don't know what's the current.
What's the name of the place over there? The really rich oil. What's wrong with my brain?
You know, the rich people. They do the oil thing. They got the.
Dubai. Thank you, Icor. Dubai. I think they currently have the record. If I'm not,
they probably do. A lot of money over there.
It is. Burj Khalifa is the current.
That's the one.
Wiz Khalifa. I don't think that's right.
He's the tallest rapper in the history of rap.
Before that. Let's see. There's the Petronius oil platform. No, that's not the thing I want.
Is this Chicago one? Did the Chicago one ever have the title? What's that?
Sears Tower.
Sears
which
Tower.
Is now, the Willis Tower in 1996.
Okay. Fascinating.
Yeah, the Petronas Towers in Taipei was. Yeah, I guess it's just called Taipei 101.
Taipei 101.
I can't believe you just Leonard Nimoy'd it like that.
Well, it really is fascinating. Right. I find it fascinating. I don't know. This stuff changes hands so quick. It's like, we're the coolest city. We have the tallest building. Nope.
How sarcastic you think Mr. Spock was when he was saying that?
What, when you say fascinating? Oh, well, I think
that is fascinating.
I think he was always sarcastic because that's how we would perceive it, right?
Right. Even though they're not emotionalists. Why is that a word?
Emotionless.
They're not without emotion.
Emotionless is what you mean.
And I love the fact, by the way, that Chicagoans still call it the Sears Tower. It will always be the Sears Tower. It's not going to be ever called the Willis Tower. It is the Sears Tower.
Yeah. Why would you call it? You know what? That's like us here locally. It was the Delta Center. You changed it to Vivint Home Arena. F off. We call it the Delta Center. F off.
We are. It's for us. It's Mile High Stadium. Will always be Mile High Stadium. Quit giving us this garbage about Empower Field. It's Mile High Stadium.
Yeah. F all those changes. It's so stupid. Yes, settle on one. I don't care who pays for it. It's coming back to Delta now, so we're actually.
It's too bad if we tie today. I'd like you to give us a higher or lower on the Mile High Stadium and whether or not, and how much higher or lower it is in feet than really it is in a mile.
Oh, weird. Mm-hmm.
I find it hard to believe it's actually a mile.
Like exactly a mile, you mean.
All right. Well, I hope there is a tie. We'll see.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that'll happen.
All right, let's find out. Like,
0-0.
I'll be able to tell you that. And you're talking about like the highest point on Mile High Stadium.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'd be curious. Like there's no way.
Let's get to question number two, shall we?
Yeah.
Question number two, ethnic foods, I put in quotes, that were actually invented for Americans. Which of these are ethnic foods that actually were just invented for Americans? Bagels, General Tso's chicken, fajitas, chicken tikka masala, pasta primavera, and fortune cookies. Which of these were created just for us dumb Americans so we could think we're eating something ethnic?
Well, one I know for positive.
So freaking good.
I know all these. I like everything on here.
No, some
chicken tiki masala, dude. I just had that. Damn it. I'm going to go two.
These all feel like the lies.
I know one for sure. Like, I'm positive on one because I read a whole thing on it. But the rest of this, I don't know. So I've locked in, Brian. Take your time.
I've locked in too.
Okay, you are both locked in. You weren't locked in until just now, Brian. I was waiting. Okay. you guys both settled in on fortune cookies.
Fascinating.
Yeah. fortune cookies are not, were not created for Americans. They were created in Japan, found in Japan as early as the 1700s with a different name that had a fortune inside. I thought they did in
San Francisco or something.
Yep, look, Google it, Scott. Google it.
Confucius says.
No, I believe you. I just am shocked.
I read the question wrong.
I had to Google it myself because I could have sworn that it was wrong. But fortune cookies, as far back as the 19th century, a cookie very similar in appearance to the modern fortune cookie was made in Kyoto, Japan, and there's a Japanese temple tradition of random fortunes called omikuji. Japanese version of the cookie differs in several ways. They're a little bit larger, they're made of darker dough, and their batter contains sesame and miso rather than vanilla and butter. They do contain a fortune, however. The small slip of paper is wedged into the bit of the cookie.
You know what?
Okay, good, good.
Here's where I screwed it up. Here's where I screwed it up, I think. I think I knew about the Japanese. I just thought it was the Japanese in America did it. And then China or Chinese food became the place where you expect it, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
You don't get them in Chinese restaurants in China. You only get them in Chinese restaurants in America, but they were first created in Japan.
Damn.
Do you suppose that the first fortune cookies weren't like open, hollow inside? Is this like somebody sticking a piece of paper in a cookie? Just like, you know, like eating a...
Oh, it's just like
a Chips Ahoy.
Like they just fingered it into the dough, just like
pushed the dough with the Chips Ahoy going, I want it.
No, I don't think that at all.
Hey, is it regional?
That'd be horrible because people would choke on it.
I was watching Seinfeld, and there's an episode where Jerry's dad kept talking about, if I want to have a Chip Ahoy, I'll have a Chip Ahoy. And I thought, Chip Ahoy? It's Chips Ahoy.
Chips Ahoy, exactly.
So what, it must be regional, like back east, they call them Chip Ahoys or something?
I don't know. I've never heard that term.
Or maybe
they just... Doesn't that make more sense? Because don't you say Ship Ahoy? You don't say Ships Ahoy, right?
Is that the play on words? You're right. Yeah,
you just say Ships Ahoy. Or Ship Ahoy. Unless there are multiple ships, and then you do say Ships Ahoy. By the way,
aren't you glad I come on? Fascinating.
Yeah, really great. bagels invented for Poland and chicken tikka masala invented in Scotland.
Wow. I like the fact that you said it was invented for Poland. Bagels were invented for Poland.
They were invented for Polish people.
Right.
To feel like they're.
I find food trivia is really fascinating because it's always like there's usually a reason why food's made a certain way and what it is, and it's not like because of the palate. It's usually because of something else.
The Scottish were like, "Hey, we need some cool Indian thing," and they made it.
Mm-hmm. And they said, chicken tikka masala, just for you guys." And that's
wild.
Tina's favorite Indian food is chicken tikka masala.
That's the kind I love it. It's the one I want the most. Yeah. I didn't realize I was eating Scottish food every time I did it.
Right.
Or Scottish invention.
All right. Well, you guys are still at 0-0. Let's see if this one can maybe get some points on the board for one of you or maybe both of you. Question number 3, American versions of foreign TV shows. Which of these were originally a foreign TV show that was created for an American or recreated for an American audience? Baywatch, House of Cards, Breaking Bad, American Idol, Ugly Betty, and Friends.
Okay. I got a question, a technical question.
All right, ask your technical question.
One of these I know originated as something else, but the name...
In a different country?
Yeah, but the name changed.
That counts.
There's no trick here.
So that's what I'm saying is like they wouldn't have called it that name over there.
No.
Okay.
Right.
So
Scott has such trust issues now. You must have really messed with.
No. I just want the best chance of kicking your ass. Really is what it comes down to.
Oh. Okay. Yes.
All right. Brian's locked.
I'm locked in.
Then I'm gonna do 2.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. And Scott's locked in. All right. You guys both locked in American Idol. Yeah, American Idol was originally called Pop Idol in the UK, but it started there. House of Cards also originated in the UK. Scott.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Friends is based on coupling.
No.
Friends is not based on coupling.
No, coupling is based on coupling.
Coupling is based on coupling.
Because they did a show called Coupling over here, and it was based on coupling in the UK.
Yeah, exactly. They came back around. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But there was no Friends.
And Ugly Betty is the other one that came from...
So you think Friends is an original idea.
What was it? What was the name of the girl in Colombia?
It was called Iso... Let's see. Yo so y Betty la Fea.
So she's fair?
No.
Fea.
Fea. I think that means you're ugly as hell, Betty.
Ugly. Yeah.
You're freaking ugly is what it means. Wow. I can't believe it. I pulled it out at the end here. Look at this.
You pulled it out. Well done. Yes. Yeah,
feel really good about that. Well done to me, but mostly well done to this guy.
Congratulations. You're a winner.
Brian, who won and what's he going to do to get his codes?
That's funny. Katrina's carousel, Katie corrects me and says, yo soy. I would say you're absolutely right. They put a space on the answer card here between the yo soy Betty. But I think that is yo soy Betty. Yeah, there's not supposed to be a space between the SO and the Y for Ugly Betty.
Oh, I like your little screen.
They put Carl in charge of that, whoever Carl is.
Carl in charge.
By the way, I didn't even say this. Lens Island and Overgrowth are really good games. Lens Island in particular, still in early access.
Oh, really? I didn't mention the games that, yes, Yo Soy Betty La Fea, which is I Am Betty, the ugly one, by the way. Is the
one.
It rolls off the tongue a little less elegantly.
I Am Betty, the ugly one.
But anyway, Lens Island will keep you busy for hours.
Lens Island and Overgrowth going to Elliot Frazier and Bolton. Congratulations, Elliot. You're getting those two games. But Nate, here in Denver, don't worry. You're getting Waking Mars, which I think is also a really good game. Not Terraforming Mars. You have to wake it before you can terraform it.
Yeah, wake it up before you go, and then you do it.
That's correct. Exactly.
Lens Island is shaping up to be awesome, so I'm jealous of that one. All these games are good, though, so we're glad you all won, in a sense, except Dunaway, who lost horribly. He's terrible.
No.
It's terrible. Just terrible.
And we didn't have to go to a tiebreaker about Mile High Stadium, unfortunately.
Yep. We'll do this again with one of you live on the air next Wednesday when we do a little bit of the Tadpooley feud. Dunaway, is there anything you'd like to add before I kick you out of here?
No, you kick me out.
All right. I don't mind. I'll do it. That's what I'm
done
here for.
Done.
Yeah, you're out of here, buddy. All right. Let's do We got to do this one story. Yeah. Okay, we're doing one story, everybody. Steven, hang in there, everybody. I know you're in the chat. Hang in there. We'll get to you in a second. A little quick one-off news brought to you by...
Brought to you by a week-old pork chop covered in mustard and pickles with Funyuns on the side.
Why, that sounds like how I ate while Kim was out of town.
Oh, well done. Week old?
Yeah, it was already... We barbecued a week prior, and we had extra pork chops from that. And so it's still fine. It tastes good.
I guess a week. I mean, it's been refrigerated. A week isn't so bad.
It's not so bad. I probably wouldn't go much longer than that, but... But yeah, the mustard and pickles are all I could find.
That probably should be what I focused on, is the mustard and pickles.
I know. I look at that and grosses me out. But for some reason at the time, I was like a pregnant woman. I was like, give me that. That sounds great.
Eat something to eat while on break from Diablo 4.
That's Must right.
Consume food and give me Funyuns, please. Funyuns are not even food.
All right, here's this quick story. A woman won't take down a 9-foot werewolf, and I don't mean there's a werewolf on the run and she's the one that's supposed to go attack it and take it down. I mean literally she has a 9-foot tall werewolf statue in Ohio and she refuses to take it down. Mary Simmons said, Phil, the werewolf is his name, has kind of become my house mascot. She says she bought the Halloween decoration in October but chose to leave it up all year round. I kind of look at it as a security thing, she says.
Sure.
I think that might be a little weird. Who wants to break into a house with a 9-foot tall werewolf sitting outside of it? I mean, I know I wouldn't, she says.
I see the photo and she's now got it wearing a t-shirt, a USA t-shirt and holding flag. So I'm guessing she's just going to decorate it year round for whatever holiday is coming up.
That seems like the plan. You just put on whatever clothes match Easter bunny stuff, probably like a little pink thing.
Valentine's Day's got a little heart. Yeah. Little heart he's holding.
I think she wrecked American flag to make that shirt.
I think so.
I think that's illegal. I don't think you're allowed to.
That looks like it's fabric. Like it's fabric you would buy at Learners or something to. Yeah,
good point. Good point. Either way, it's kind of a flag code violation, I think. But
probably,
whatever.
Yeah.
She says, "I'm a big horror fan, so I don't really mind it." So, this is her neighbor, Haley Barker. I've watched them dress it up in different colors and whatnot, and I think that's really pretty cool. She says, "The city is the one saying." She has to take it down.
One anonymous complaint.
Yep. She says she will not take it down unless it's a safety hazard. I don't want somebody walking by his head fall off and hits them, you know. Don't you know? I try to treat people like I want to be treated, and I wouldn't want that to happen to me, she said. But right now it's just a decoration. She's not worried about it. Yeah, I say leave it up, dude. Leave it up.
For sure.
F, I don't know if she's got an HOA, but F everybody. Screw them all. Who cares?
Yeah, HOA certainly would have an issue with that. But I think she would have gotten something from the HOA like November 1st. Mm-hmm. If she left it up for at least mid-November. Mm-hmm. So I think that she's fine with that.
It's also probably, they don't get into it, but it's probably expensive. You don't just buy that for free. You don't just get that for 10 bucks.
And where do you buy it? I mean, are there any sort of Halloween stores that open up anywhere that anybody's heard of that might have something like this? Like I don't know, in an old Circuit City or a...
Well, Brian, depends on how much of the spirit of Halloween you'd like to get into. I think you might be lucky this one time.
You might be lucky, yes.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, Steven Schleicher will join us, do a little major spoilers talk. That'll be fun. Few other things, so stick around for that. Brian, we got to play a mid-break show thing, song deal. Do you got that?
Yes. I am so happy to play this one. I've been talking with Svet in Las Vegas from Same Six Mary. She also works for Bad Moon Booking. That's her company. Her company is Bad Moon Booking. She books bands. Bad Moon Booking books bands. Mm. That's the new slogan.
Sure.
Beautifully. Bad Moon Booking books bands beautifully. And one of the bands that she's working with right now is a band called Pearl Earl. They are neo-psychedelic rock, the project of multi-instrumentalist and singer-songwriter Ariel Hartley, formed in Denton, Texas, back in 2014. And they've got a rotating cast of original and touring members that have been part of the band. But they this is almost like, for me, kind of dream pop, very... very light, airy, fun stuff, very psychedelic. Once described as Pink Floyd in the sunlight, the band's live performances are captivating and euphoric with an ominous grin. This is a song from their brand new album. This is entitled, I'm sorry, it's their first, their new single, I should say. It is called Damage Control. Here is Pearl Earl.
Imagination. Guess what we're climbing if you can. It's a great big, great big, great big jar. A great big jar of Peter Pan.
If you want a picture of the future, imagine a boot forever.
And we return. Tell me who that was. They sound great.
Sure. From the brand new album. I did find the album title. It's called It's Dread. Just came out this last Friday via Green Witch Recordings in New York City. The album is called It's Dread. That was the first single from the album. It's called Damage Control. The band is Pearl Earl.
It's Dread is also the answer when someone says, what is the best Carl Urban movie? And I say, it's Dread. I love that movie.
It's also a confusing answer when you say, who is the best member of our tadpole? Oh, it's Dread.
Oh, it's because Dread.
There's two of them.
Oh, there's that's right. Is it Nex or is it Dread? Lord? Is it the Lord?
Is it the Lord?
Or is it the Nex? Lord?
Who could it be?
Which Dread is it? Okay, so Steven is not coming up. Oh, there he is. That's weird. The M's popped late in my list.
Oh, sure.
Don't know what that's about. But excited to have him on, so let's just get to this.
And now welcome Steven to the show. He's a huge freaking nerd.
Dollar bills, y'all.
That's right. He's making those dollar bills out there in Kansas while the rest of us are wondering how the hell he does it. It's Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com joining us on a Monday. Hello, Steven.
Hello, Scott. Hello, Brian.
Hey, man.
What's going on?
What's going on? What's going on in Kansas right now? What's the big state hubbub? What's going on out there? Anything cool?
I don't know. I'll be honest here, people. And this is the best thing that you can do for your entire life. Just get off Twitter. Don't doom scroll. I've reduced my time on Twitter to like 15 minutes in the morning at most.
Yeah.
And then sometime around lunchtime, I'll pop back in just to see what's going on. And then maybe once at night. And so, yeah. So my life is much happier and I have a lot less stress since I've stayed off Twitter.
Don't you want to check in on those virologists who also pivoted to being experts on submarine?
Wait, what?
and then they pivoted to like how things work in Russia with like attempted coups and stuff. These people are geniuses. What? They're geniuses.
I'm so lucky to have so many experts at my fingertips.
I know, right? And you know who they are, Brian, just by looking to see the little blue check they paid for, and that's how you know.
And you can see their little avatar with that they took in the driver's seat of their car with their sunglasses and their baseball cap.
Yeah,
on.
Yeah. And sometimes turned around that hat.
Sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, it's a treasure trove, Steven. What are you doing? Why are you not in there all the time?
You know, hey, listen, seriously, I have a lot less stress when I don't have to worry about is some Russian oligarch going to try to squash a Russian overlord with a push of a nuke code. So
yeah. Well,
follow my lead there, Scott.
My big takeaway from that was I heard the name is called the Wagner Group, is the name of that mercenary thing, and it sounds like someone I'd want to watch my 401k for.
That's
me,
right. Yes, know? Exactly.
Yeah. I wonder if it's called the Wagner Group because of Wagner.
The Wagner Group.
Ride of the Valkyries.
Oh, it probably is that, right? Oh, they're trying to be dramatic with the Wagner. Yeah.
I mean, that's just my guess. I don't know. I didn't spend any time on Twitter. Yeah. Looking for experts to tell me why.
Well, I'm glad to have you here informing us on other important things. And one of those is that there are studios pulling out of San Diego Comic-Con. That feels like a last minute thing to me.
No.
Well, so we kind of talked about this a month or so ago when the writers' strike first kicked off, because one of the things that nobody wants to do is offend any kind of a union. And so when the writers' strike kicked off, SAG-AFTRA basically said, hey, we want to support our writer brothers. And if we have to go on strike, which it looks like they will be soon, they don't want to participate in anything having to do. And it can be considered that making an appearance at a convention to promote a movie or TV show is acting and doing their job. And so that could be a violation of strikes. And we've already seen a couple of upfronts get canceled or changed to just very simple announcements because actors don't want to show up to these things. So kind of a hedge to what will happen at, I think it's the end of this month, this week, I think, SAG-AFTRA will probably go on strike, meaning that by the time we hit San Diego Comic-Con, these studios will have no one to bring out on stage and say, look at our famous celebrities telling you how great our stuff is. And so they're just like, well, we're not going to deal with it, so we're gone. So no Marvel, no Netflix, no Sony, HBO, or Universal. Interestingly, Paramount has not made an announcement, but so I don't know if they're doing something with any Star Trek stuff, but that's kind of where we sit right now.
So Screen Actors Guild, the SAG part, I thought all actors negotiated individual contracts. Is this just a solidarity strike that may or may not happen?
No. So actors are going to negotiate their payments, just like writers negotiate their payments. There are things, though, called minimums. So if you are working in a writer's room or you're working on a movie, there are set minimums for anyone who is in a guild or a union, regardless of what your individual pay is.
Right.
So, right now, I don't know what specifically Ashley Victoria Robinson would be a better person to bring on board for this. But I don't know what the specific points are with the SAG-AFTRA negotiations with the producers. More than likely, it's minimums. It's also residuals. Residuals over the last couple of years have been really hacked away. And then I'm sure some AI stuff as well will be popped up in there as well, or using digital data of actors.
But let's say you're Tom Hanks or Tom. Let's say Tom Cruise. Let's go with a different Tom. Yeah. Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
He's getting his $20 to $30 to $50 million per movie every time.
Right. But he has a minimum. Even if he were like, listen. And this happens sometimes. Sometimes Tom Cruise or Robert Downey Jr. or any of the other big actors that are out there, sometimes they will appear in small independent movies for minimum, which may be just a couple of $1,000 a day.
Yeah, they just want to work with the actor, the director, or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So that makes sense. So if they are on strike and people like, say, a Tom Cruise support the strike, and he would probably need to because he's part of the guild.
Right.
It's not so much that I need 60 to 100 million per movie. That's not what we're saying. He's saying we want the minimums to be fair, or we want the, whatever the, that's
residuals or whatever to be fair. Yes.
Okay. I get that. That makes sense to me. Okay. Here's the big question. And maybe Brian Nibbett will benefit the most from this.
Sure.
Are we looking at like a decade of reality television ahead of us?
Oh, hell no. And don't say I'm going to benefit, because that's going to be a lot of the shitty reality stuff that I don't like.
It's not fair. It's not fair to actually say it. Yeah.
You blanket that you hate all reality, you assume that I blanket love all reality. Yeah. I like reality competition shows like Amazing Race and Survivor.
Yeah, maybe we'll get some good ones of that, right? Maybe that'll pop up.
I mean, we get those anyway. Yeah. I don't think we're going to get, that's not going to be any different.
Yeah. But some of those are already kicking off. Some of those are already coming in the next month.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a real chance for this feels like the one strike where YouTube is a factor.
Because
prior to 2006 was the last one. YouTube
was the last major strike, yes, that caused all sorts of problems, especially for DC movies back then. But
and that stage of the thing, YouTube wasn't even a year old in 2006. I think Google had just bought them that year. So it was like a very different thing. And what I mean by that, I guess, is now there is a huge swath of content/entertainment on the service that probably is not tied to any guild membership, right?
Right. So, well, maybe yes, maybe no. So, and again, I'm not a spokesman for either of the unions, but my suggestion would be that if you have a question whether or not you appearing on a streaming show or you appearing on something, your best bet is to go and talk to your union rep, and they will tell you what things are struck and which ones aren't, because some of them it's like, hey, Tom Cruise, if you want to appear on the morning stream and come on as an appearance and do some stuff for a week with Scott and Brian. That's probably not going to be a deal because you guys are not part of the Producers Guild and you're not generating content would be generating those kind of residuals. However, if there is a very popular streaming RPG show that was previously owned by Legendary Pictures. Anybody who is an actor who would be appearing on that RPG show that's owned by Legendary Pictures, which is, I think, one of the Struck studios, you would be forbidden from appearing on that.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. I wondered about that.
Yeah, so those are where some of those things fall in. Weird, so the best thing is to check with your union rep to see where those kinds of things fall. But if you've got your own YouTube channel, Movies with Mikey, for example, I think he's written some stuff or worked on some studio related stuff. He can continue to do his show without having to worry about being ejected from the Writers Guild.
Because it's his own deal.
Right.
There's nobody else involved in it. It's just him.
That I know of, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, that makes sense. And if Tom Cruise, you want to come on this show for a week, you can do your own stunts.
There is a movie coming up that you may want to promote. Yeah, but again, he may decline to promote stuff simply because it's doing work for the studios.
Yeah, and by the way, so for all of Tom Cruise's, there's a lot to say about Tom Cruise and in lots of conversations.
Well, careful, because he may or may not want to come on your show. He may not want to come on, yeah.
But he seems like someone who is genuinely interested in the crew getting their due, these stories about him all the time. He like will go to bat for you, which is I think is a good thing, you know. Scientology aside and all the other issues, I think, you know, having somebody that high profile willing to tell it, you know, tell off the producers and go, look, you're not paying this crew enough, or they didn't get what you said they'd get, or whatever, I think is kind of a cool thing. So now you should come on my show because I said such a nice thing about you, Tom Cruise.
And we promised that that I won't play that that one Jonathan Coulton song when you're on the show. That won't be the song during the middle of the
Tom won't even embarrass. Scott won't ask about your tooth.
Yeah, and I won't say a thing about your center tooth. I won't mention
we'll
South Park.
The way you run.
Yeah, we won't talk about South Park and how you won't come out of the closet. All that stuff. We'll leave all that to the side. Okay. I love that episode though. He was so pissed about that though.
Yeah, he was.
What was the? Yeah. I can't remember the movie. There was something he would not. He refused to do any promo for it unless they.
It was one of the Mission Impossibles because we talked about, I think, on Film Sack.
It was three or four or something.
Yeah, I think so. It was the one we watched most recently. So that would have been three.
Three, yeah. That was the one he wouldn't do. Yeah, that's right. That would have been the era he would have said no to production. That's pretty funny. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Anyway, they still rewrote.
Somebody asked, how long do you think this strike will last? I think the Writers Guild, and especially if the Actors Guild goes on strike, it's indefinite. The only thing that everyone is somewhat upset about right now is the Directors Guild. They folded very quickly, and they were like, yeah, we'll do whatever you guys want. That's going to come back and bite them on the butt, because if you got no actors and you got no writers, well, directors, doesn't matter. Yeah. They're not going to be working anyway. So they should have really kind of stood in solidarity with the Writers Guild on that. So
yeah, I agree. It's going to get weird, though. Everybody,
right now it will probably go until at least the end of the year before anybody reaches any kind of negotiations, but agrees on anything, but it could go well into next year.
Well, we'll keep our eye on it. Hey, do you remember? I remember this time you brought up that G.I. Joe and Transformers were in the same universe.
Yeah, especially if people have seen that Transformers, the Beast Nation or whatever it is.
The Beast Nation.
Beast Nation. I love it.
That's a great fake word name for a thing that isn't that. I love it.
Yeah.
Nicely done.
But if you stay past the credits, there is a bit where is revealed that the G.I. Joe universe is part of the Transformers movie universe. This is something that's been happening in the publishing world over at IDW for many, many years, except back in October of last year, the rights to the IDW publishing of the Transformers stuff went away. The deal with Hasbro folded. There's a whole backstory about that we can't and probably shouldn't get into. But a lot of people were like, so what happens to the G.I. Joe and Transformers comics? Who's going to pick them up? Is it going to be Marvel? Marvel used to do G.I. Joe with Larry Hama years ago. And then Larry Hama came over to IDW to work on continue on to the G.I. Joe series. Turns out it is Skybound Entertainment. And a lot of people may be going, well, I don't know what a Skybound Entertainment is. It is Robert Kirkman's imprint that he has with Image Comics. So 2 weeks ago, basically the same week that the Transformers Rise of the Beasts landed in theater, there was a comic release called Void Saga Number 1. And that was this sly introduction. Robert Kirkman loves doing these kinds of things where he will just not make big announcements on anything and then just slip things into the store unawares for people to find this magical thing. He did it with the end of The Walking Dead, you know, the day of release that everybody found out that last issue of Walking Dead was the last issue of The Walking Dead. Mm-hmm. And this one, the Void Saga, has an appearance of, I think it's Jetpack was the Transform that appeared in this. And that was their announcement that the G.I. Joe and Transformers licensing has been moved over to Skybound. So some of the good things, it's all over at Skybound. Robert Kirkman is a huge fan of Transformers and G.I. Joe. Mm. Other good news is that if you are a fan of the IDW G.I. Joe series, the numbering of that series will continue, and Larry Hama will continue being the writer of that series going forward at Skybound as well. So that's really good news for G.I. Joe and Transformers fans.
Kind of wish you could go back in time to my 12-year-old self and tell him all this, you know?
I know. It'd be pretty cool.
Because I was really into these
Transformers or G.I. Joes and you played with them.
Oh, I love them. I was so into Transformers and G.I. Joe, and I love the cartoons. I'd come home from school, watch G.I. Joe. I'd watch Transformers on the weekend. Mm-hmm. If I was told then that this was a shared universe, I would have lost my shit. Although, you know, and then Micronauts, maybe Micronauts could slip in there, you know, a little bit.
Micronauts, I think, is still over at, because I don't think that that's Hasbro. That is still over at Marvel. In fact, Marvel has a ROM omnibus collection that's coming out in August or September.
Ooh, Brian.
And a Micronauts omnibus collection coming out in, again, it's either August or September.
Ooh la la.
Ooh. I'm all over it.
Yeah, ooh la la.
Ooh la la.
When's that? One final quick movie question for you.
Sure.
When's that Teenage
Indiana Mutant? Jones is this weekend.
Oh, that is this weekend.
When Thursday night.
When is TMNT, the new cool looking Turtles movie?
Cool one coming out. I don't know off the top of my head.
It looks so good, dude.
But yeah, it looks really good. August 2nd, 2023 is what it says.
I'm beyond stoked about this. So hurry up, movie.
Yeah, it'll be a nice kids movie to close out the. To close out the summer.
Yeah. Well, let us all hope that it's as good as it looks. that's the trick these days. All right. Well, Stephen, as always, it's good to have you here. You're not going to be here on the 3rd. We're going to miss you, but you got some big plans. You're going to Denver for something. What are you doing over there?
No, I think we're going to try to get out of town if we can. Denver is currently the top of the list, and I'll have to send an email to Brian to say, hey, it's been a few years since I've been to Denver. What's the cool things to do besides Casa Bonita?
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck getting to Casa Bonita. It's still invite only, but.
Oh, is it okay?
Meow Wolf is pretty damn rad. I think you would.
Oh, yeah. Love. Yeah. Is that the geeky store?
The art installation thing.
Is an interactive museum.
Okay. Oh, right.
But it looks like a store. Part of it is the idea.
The one in Vegas looks like a store. The one in Denver is completely different.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I think we can probably do that. The kids kind of surprisingly like going to art museums and kind of stuff. So I think art installations would be pretty cool.
Brian, go ahead.
Would absolutely love this. It is when you think art museum, you think of stuff hanging on the walls and things like that. This is something completely different. This is like walking into another world.
Yeah, it's insane.
Okay, cool.
Very, very cool. Yeah. The one I saw, I think the first time Brian ever mentioned it, you walked through a fridge or something and it went into a crazy place or something.
Yeah. It was a fridge and I came out, I disappeared by walking into a fridge, and there's stuff just like that in this one as well.
That's really cool. You should check that out. Steven, it's always a pleasure. You have anything going on the network that people should check out before you go out of town?
Yeah, certainly everybody should be checking out our Critical Hit podcast. We're currently playing Octoon Cthulhu, which is an RPG game where you have some very simple rules as far as dice go. But the premise is you are a bunch of adventurers fighting Nazis and Cthulhu monsters, and it's a lot of fun. So go check that out. It's Critical Hit over at majorspoilers.com. And because I won't see you guys next week, as you're out there blowing up things and scaring dogs around the neighborhood, please make sure that you stay hydrated.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's a very good idea. Hydrate your lawns so that they don't catch on fire.
Yep. Hide your wife, hide your kids, hydrate your lawns. Those are the three things we want you to do.
Exactly. Yep.
Well done, Stephen. It's always good to have him here. We are now going to get out of here, but I'm going to read a text before we do. You guys sometimes send us these, 801-471-0462. And here is one from Toots McLaren.
It's a great name.
Scott, thinking back on your cruise ship fascination some months back. Yeah, I remember I was like looking up documentaries and all that.
It was that great documentary about what goes on beneath the below decks.
Yeah, I loved it. It was great. Yeah. He says, I thought you might be interested in the article about where cruise ships go to die. It's over on demarge.com, and it's a cruise ship graveyard story. Floats a boat, yo, Toots. This looks crazy to me.
I would have thought that I know they're all just like stacked in there. I honestly would have thought, cruise ships, well, they, you know, when they're done with a cruise ship, they take the parts, they basically just take everything off of it and repurpose it for a new cruise ship. But, you know, like some of these look like it's just been sliced and cut like
like they're slowly like
serving a ham.
Yeah, dismembering it one room by room or something. Or,
yeah.
I look at this old pool here.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure there's stuff you salvage, right? But it's probably things that are bolted.
There's a whole miniature golf course on that one in the middle, I think. I think that's what that is on that top center is a miniature golf course.
Yeah, look at all the little
greens and stuff. Yeah. But like, they even still have their lifeboats. Why aren't those getting repurposed?
Oh yeah, this picture down below, they show kind of the yard, the shipyard, and they, I guess they just keep pulling the stuff off these ships. Oh, this one that's gutted is just a metal frame. That's wild.
Oh, look at that. No kidding. That's cool.
Holy heavens. This is great.
It is fascinating.
Yeah. I like this kind of stuff. I wonder how often a ship gets retired. Like, how long does it service? And then it probably gets into that here a little bit. But, well, anyway, there you go. Oh, and they use a lot of the steel and recycle all that. And that makes sense. You'd want to reuse that stuff. It's a lot of it.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Well, thank you for that, Toots. We appreciate it. My favorite news source is Toots McLaren.
Yes. Also, a little, finally, a full-on answer from Red Fraggle on the pronunciation of that French city. The word we are looking to pronounce is the name of a city in France that is very popular for tourists and baguettes. And the name of this French city is pronounced Chartres. Chartres.
Oh, wait, did she? I just got a clip. Hold on.
You probably got the same one.
Chartres.
Oh, there it is. That's just
the
a lady.
The name of this city.
Chartres.
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 Well, it's definitely not Chart. Okay?
It's definitely not Chart, which bums me out a lot.
I'm a little sad about this. Thank you.
I've never said that. That's a city I've seen the name of, and I don't think I've ever said the name of it out loud.
Also, real quick, there was a question. So I have a question for the trans community in our listenership that I want to ask, but I'm not going to do it today. I'm going to do it tomorrow. And the reason I didn't do it today is we said a bunch of stuff, full stuff. I'll do it tomorrow. But I have been nervous about asking it because I want to make sure I'm not just being dumb or ignorant about something. But it's a question that I was asked by somebody who was asking it in kind of a antagonistic way, trying to get me, trying to stump me. Okay. And I felt stumped. Like, by the end of it, I was like, oh, I don't know how that works. I don't know the answer to that. So, teaser, tomorrow I'm going to ask the question and then we'll let people have thoughts. Brian will have his thoughts. Everybody can add their thoughts and we'll hear emails and all that.
Sure.
And I'm just warning you now that this
cis white men answer questions about
I don't want to. That's why I'm saying, hey, you know, let's let the community tell me because I don't know.
No, I love it.
I honestly don't know the answer to it and it threw me. So that'll be tomorrow. Look forward to that. This is not bait. This is not trying to get anybody all up in arms. I just have a question. That's it. And I'll ask it tomorrow. All right. Brian, let's get out of here. Before we do, a reminder that this show is running on the steam of the good graces of our listeners. By that, I mean they go to patreon.com/TMS and they say to themselves, man, what a life this is. I don't ever have to have commercials or ads. That's awesome. I get pre-show content and post-show content every day. Amazing. How about couch parties? Couch parties on the weekend. We just did one for Evil Leaper Part 1.
Quantum Leap. We have one. We finally close out the Evil Leaper storyline. Not this Friday because we have a play date this Friday. But
how on our earth are these people going to wait so long for the final chapter?
I know. Oh, the suspense of the Evil Leaper just as Alia might be coming around to Sam's advances.
That's right. Never know. Anyway, we're doing that this Friday. We haven't talked about a time. Sometimes we shift that for play date. What do we want to do this time? Same or?
Let's see.
What works well for you?
We could.
You've got guest
connection.
You know
what? We could shift it and do it Saturday right after Film Sack, especially if Dunaway or
that'd be fine with
Randy
me.
Want to join us.
Yeah, they want to hang around. Sure. Let's do that. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll plan on that. It's always hard to pinpoint the time, but it's usually right around 11. So.
Yeah, and I think Among Us, I think it is time for Among Us. We did, last time?
Yeah,
so.
Yeah, for sure.
Even though it'll be July 1st, it's still our end of the month play date, okay?
Yeah,
okay.
And then if any of you out there, and we'll give preferential treatment to the answers from patrons, but if you have suggestions for really great, lots of people can play at games that you want to see us change things up a bit or whatever, that'd be great. The nice thing would be, if possible, is to make it something like Among Us, where a lot of people have access to it and it's very cheap or whatever, or free.
Right.
But, you know, we do a lot with Jackbox. We do Among Us. If there's other things that you think we're missing and should include in the mix, let us know.
At some point, I wouldn't mind doing a Marvel Snap, you know, play against anyone who wants to play in the tadpole.
Can we do a tournament?
That's only two people playing, and then we could do a turn. Ooh, tournament's not a bad idea.
Tournament's fun because then you could make it the stream is actually this event of tournament, you know? Like,
yes. Oh.
Yeah, we could do that. I'd be happy about that.
We could do that. Yeah.
Anyway, do they have to be far along to do that? Can they be newbies?
No, you can be a newbie.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, there you have it. That'll be good for me then, because I'm sort of intermediate newbie in that game. Anyway, yeah. that'll be why you'd want to help us out. We got lots of other reasons, too. Go check them out right now at patreon.com/TMS. And for everything else, it's frogpants.com/TMS. If you want to watch the live show daily on the live stream, it's easy. Frogpants.tv, 9 a.m. Mountain Time, each and every weekday except for Fridays when we do our fun stuff. All right? Okay. That's going to do it.
Okay.
Hey, Brian, I don't want to leave unless I hear some songs. What do you got there?
Well, this is a late one. This one came in at the end of last month, but it was a request date for June 1st, and we, for whatever reason, didn't get to it on June 1st. But Justin O'Brien wrote in and said, another trip around the sun, and I appreciate this community so much.
Oh, my gosh. A trip around the sun means this.
Let's party.
Happy birthday.
Let's get a sausage with Veronica and a fish sandwich with Ibbit to celebrate.
Oh, my Lord. Hold on.
That's a lot.
Here's
a lot
Ibbit.
Hey, is it too early to get a fish sandwich?
All right. That's number one. What was the other one?
The other one was sausage. Sausage. Veronica sausage.
It's, where is, hold on. It's on here.
This show.
No.
I would like.
No.
There's different.
No.
The tender.
No.
Let's test.
No, where is this thing?
Do dog.
No. Hold on.
Bad.
No. Where is she? That's not it. Oh, here it is. No, that isn't it either. What is the deal? I found everything but hers.
Then you can. Well.
Everything's moved. All right.
Oh, no. Well, all right. Well,
sorry. We'll get it to you later.
You'll get a sausage another time. Hopefully, you enjoyed everything else that you got out of that. By the way, Veronica, well, never mind. I'm not going to say it. Let's get to this right now. This is the request that Justin had. Anything by Me First in the Gimme Gimmes or covers by or of Green Day. And settled in on the second of the two because we, you know, years ago, we lost singer Eddie Money, famous for things like Two Tickets to Paradise, Take Me Home Tonight. It's probably the most recent big hit of his that everybody knows. Take Me Home Tonight.
And I had, what's her name? Who was the one that popped in?
It had Ronnie Spector.
Ronnie Spector. That's right.
Yeah.
Yep.
From the Ronettes.
Yep.
Singing Be My Little Baby. Anyway, he did a cover on his 2009 album, The Covers EP. That was of Green Day's When I Come Around. And it was just such this cool melding of this artist that that I loved in the 70s and 80s with this new artist that I loved in the 90s and 2000s and beyond and 2010s, etc.
Yep.
So here is Eddie Money covering Green Day, When I Come Around.
So he did the my favorite lyric of all time, I feel a hunger, it's a hunger. I hate that.
Yes.
Hate that so much. Hate yes. it and love it's it at almost, the same time.
It's just as good as Horse with No Name by America, where they sing, The Heat Was Hot.
Yeah, The Heat Was Hot.
The Heat Was Hot. And the
All yeah. right. Well, there you go. That'll do it. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Come back then, won't you?
You cried loud all the way across town. You've been searching for that someone, and it's me out on the prowl. You sit around feeling sorry for yourself. Well, don't get lonely now. You can dry your whining eyes. I've been roaming for the moment. Sleeves in my backyard, so don't get so uptight. You're thinking about ditching me. No time to search the world around, 'cause you know where I'll be found when I come around. Yeah, when I come around. When I come around. Well, I heard search the world around. Cause you know where I've found when I come around. When I come around. La 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 la. No time to search the whole.
Get more at frogpants.com.
Why are there so many dead things floating in the elixir of life?
That's a great question, Futurama episode.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.